I don't think if you're selling $20,000 worth of wheels, I don't think they have to sell you much.
Well, you're already, it was more of
you're already
that
it.
Was when we did our stock for all the new Tacoma Land Cruiser stuff. Mm-hmm. So we kind of needed to get rid of all the old 5-bolt stuff and the old Tacoma. Cause
yeah, what's the new bolt pattern?
The same pattern. The studs are bigger though.
That's stupid.
It's like a Volkswagen Audi thing.
That's just
oh, it's a 14 millimeter lug now.
Yeah, so all the old Tacoma wheels we couldn't use on the new ones. So like the DRD off-road wheels and stuff.
Yeah, can you go backwards because they're smaller? So like take all the takeoffs and put them.
We
on the
tried
ones?
That. It didn't work.
It wasn't good.
We tried that.
No backwards compatibility.
Right. You'd need like a different lug nut with a deeper seat or something.
Yeah.
Then it would be a real crapshoot on if it centered up.
Well, and then you'd be liable.
Mm-hmm.
You knew there was something going on, and you felt like you should change it. But instead, you made it work. Can't do that at a dealership. You can do that in my garage. Can't do that at a
started
dealership.
Doing engines, though.
Oh, the
3.5s?
Yeah. How many?
We've done, I think we just finished our third one today.
Okay.
And it's just in and out, right? You just
yard
the old one and...
To reference an old episode, it fully dressed.
Ooh.
Engine oil, everything. Only thing is the starter and the harness.
Dang.
So, yep.
Hmm. That's cool.
Big old box. And
did they finally confirm the whole problem, right?
It's machining.
Just machining stuff left in there.
It's a production date range. So.
Yeah, they were. It was like debris left over, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fun.
Clean your workstations, boys.
Right?
You tell me to go up, and then you tell me to go down.
Yeah. Like, well, it turned out it was actually me and not the volume.
It was the microphone, not your headphone volume.
Okay. Yeah. I couldn't tell at first. And then I could tell when Aaron touched the table and I could hear the fiber of his being through my headphones. And then, you know.
Sorry.
But I still couldn't hear myself.
That's funny.
Well, Sean. Go ahead.
No, you're just over here being a rapper.
Am I?
Can you turn me up in the headphones? Mm. I need more snare.
Yeah, I wish I could do a really good impression of any rapper, but I can't.
Oh.
Yeah, one of those things. Yeah, where's your soundboard? Give me.
You
no soundboard. Damn it.
Just these. I've only got four. A, B, C, and D.
All right.
C, D's nuts.
Wow. We got that one still.
I don't mind. Those jokes are not for you. They're not for anybody at home either.
For you, personally.
They're just for me. You can ask Haley. I haven't told a joke for another person in 20 years.
I don't think she's known you for 20 years.
No, but I've told her that I haven't told a joke for another
person
for 20 years.
That's all you need to do, right? Just say you haven't done something for 20 years. That's set in stone. Everybody knows it's true.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Which makes it even more true.
Yeah, more true. The most true.
It's truer.
What were we talking about? Wheels, Toyota engines. Oh, how's that going? Has it been?
They got it pretty streamlined. So, only issue with as far as Toyota goes, they want them back. Oh. If we're not doing them fast enough, then they'll cut us off from ordering them. So,
so you got to move through them.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I think as the guys start doing them, they'll get faster with it, obviously. So,
yeah, I mean, they're going to want to, right? They're going to want to make it so that they make a ton of money on it.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Do you know what the hours are on it? Or
I didn't look at the hours.
Okay.
Royce was talking about that this weekend, and he said that it only books at like 14 hours.
Yeah, which sounds about right.
That's pretty aggressive.
Yeah.
Our profit's like $3,000, I think, for parts. So I'll take it. So.
Yeah, it's nice.
So. Well, yeah.
Not nothing. Huh. And you said you've done like a handful.
Yeah, I think we've done three. Like I said, I think we just finished the third one and we've got two in crates in the drive right now waiting. So
crazy. Yep. Cool. Has there been any, we talked about around that same time, there was some like transmission talk, like one person had a transmission problem with a Tacoma on the internet. You guys seen anything?
No.
I hadn't heard any more about it either. So I was kind of curious.
Yeah,
no, I haven't really heard any issues with them. So
I started to see a decent amount of Tacomas around, and I was still at the beginning. I was saying to everybody that I had a hard time telling them apart immediately, but now I'm used to seeing them, and I've seen a lot of them with sure what you guys are doing, just a leveling kit and 33s or whatever. And I don't know, I'm into them. I think they look good.
Yeah.
I just saw, I should have read this since this is the midsize truck podcast. A show, sorry, the midnight midsize truck show. Yeah. Podcast. Wait, one more.
Oh, you're going to give it one more try?
Campfire Passport Podcast.
Bump.
Okay.
There we go.
Anyway, I saw a review on the new 4Runner because it, like, they did the launch on it. And there was a bunch of media about it. I read exactly zero of it. So
good job.
Yeah.
I saw a pro jumping for the pod. And that was the extent of my research.
Hmm. Yeah. I saw a bunch of those videos and they were targeted and I can't, I'm not that interested into them. I don't know. It's not something that I'll ever be ready to buy new. That wouldn't be on my list of new things to buy anyway. So I'm just like, I'll wait until something else comes along and I'll watch it when they're 10 years old and there's a possibility that somebody needs one. But
yeah, I don't know when we'll see one. They said February, but I'll be surprised if we see one by February.
Yeah.
We just got our first Trail Hunter and sold it here, I think, this week.
Is that the one that ended up at Northwest Wheel?
No, I think that was actually a different one.
A different one. That one looked good. 35s, stock everything. Yep. I was impressed. I was like, whoa, okay.
Aren't guys having trouble on 37s to get enough power?
I mean,
even geared in like 529s?
Most guys are having trouble with enough power on 37s.
Yes, but like...
But I don't know. I haven't looked. I haven't even seen one on 37s that I can think of. But well, that's not on portals, but...
There was somebody who went early and did them on 37s, and I'll find it later. I'll send it to the group chat. But they were talking about, like, oh, nobody should do this. You should stop at 35s because even with they were like 513 or 529 gears, they just didn't have enough power to get 65 on the freeway.
That doesn't seem right at all. That sounds like forum nonsense because that truck has like 450 pound feet of torque.
It was a video.
So
it was a video, and they were talking about it. It was full overland kitted, too, though. It's not like.
Was probably, it Westcott?
Probably weighed 9,000 pounds.
I don't know. Is it a white truck, I think?
They were just mad because it wasn't as fast as stock.
Well, and I'm sure they had everything on it. It was a full overland build looking thing.
I just want...
They went from 35s to 37s, and they're like, we can't go.
This is like the same people that told you couldn't put 15-inch wheels on your JK.
I know. The internet sucks.
Oh, look at that thing. That's crazy.
That's cool.
It's still ugly, but...
That's a different.
I didn't say good. I said crazy.
The guys I'm thinking
it's,
of had
it's
a
goofy
Tacoma
with its double Hulk stash, and I kind of like it.
Double Hulkster.
I don't love it.
You just gotta tear your shirt off every once in a while.
Yeah, it's still doesn't do it for me, but it does have 37s on it. So
well, good thing it can't go on the highway.
Westcott Designs or whatever the heck their name is.
Yeah, they make some good stuff. They bolt a lot of good stuff on trucks.
Yeah,
they're bumpers and stuff. But they make bumpers, right? Don't they make bumpers, or do they just accessorize? I don't know.
I know.
Yeah, well, I've seen their little pages, and they seem to do some cool
stuff.
What
outfit was that?
Wolcott?
Or Westcott?
What?
Westcott. They do lifts.
Wool socks?
I don't know. They do their lifts, but I don't know about any other accessories they might do.
Maybe that's what I mixed it up with.
So this one with black wheels, there's 35s, and then the gold wheels is 37s.
35s is a good look size-wise on those.
Yeah.
Don't need you to describe your fucking light kit, dude. Like, oh, wow, I bolted these lights on.
There's 200
sick
plugs.
Look at all this space between the swing out and the rear hatch.
You can put a max track in there.
It's not even a video about the one with 37s. Lame.
Lame, lame, lame.
Moving on. Yeah, still don't like
it. Yeah,
the
side profile looks really goofy.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, something about it seems squished.
It's the rear door.
The rear door
is squished. It's like they made the front door longer, but then made the back door shorter.
Well, and I don't know if you've ever ridden in the back seat of one of the current ones. When you go to get out, it's that back door is already small.
It's
for me to get out, I'm like...
Kind of fold yourself out of it. And they need to make a 4Runner long.
Mm-hmm.
Long L. Loose.
Yep.
LWB. Instead of a TRD. TRDLWB.
Pro.
That is Pro. Impressive.
Trail hunter.
Trail hunter, yeah.
In cement.
It's a small essay, Jesse? To tell people what you drive.
Yeah.
I saw a new Tundra, and the guy had replaced these little, the like lights that are in the lower grill with brighter ones.
Okay.
As is tradition.
Yeah. And he pulls up to a stoplight, it's dark, and puts his low beams on, because he had his high beams on, and then turns those on separately, and they were brighter than his fucking high beams were. And I was like, what was the fucking...
Yeah, what are you like, doing with your life?
You made it worse. Like, like those are fogs. They're supposed to only come on with your low beams, so I get it. Mm-hmm. But they also shouldn't be brighter than your headlights, because that actually makes it worse.
I mean, I'm the idiot that ran 100-watt halogen bulbs and Votex fogs in a Mark III, and they were definitely as bright or brighter than my headlights. So. Yeah.
The difference is this is a modern vehicle with modern headlights already.
Mm-hmm. It was modern then.
Yeah. It's modern in those days.
Back in my day.
Yeah. It just reminded me of one of the like things that I can't stand about trucks and additional lights is when people just drive around regular like daylight
with them on.
Whatever, and they've got nothing all like their light bars on and all that shit. And it's just like what
are you doing?
What is the reasoning for this?
Yeah. I
can see your truck.
I use my like big lights in place of high beams a lot of the time, mm-hmm. but that's not in traffic. Like
or the daytime. Tell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's not in the daytime.
daylight.
I used to argue with Dave Rose about this because he would drive around with his high beams on during the day to not wear out his low beams, but he wouldn't just turn his headlights off. You have to have running lights on, even though he was driving a 2001 Suzuki side or Gravitara. So he would drive it around all day with his high beams on. And I was like, I hate you. Every time you pull up and everywhere you go, just because... it's daytime doesn't mean that those don't shine straight in my eyes and suck. And he go, no, it doesn't really bother anybody. I was like, you get your lights, you people flash you during the day. Like,
that's me walking the dog. I can't believe how many people drive up our street with their high beams on. And I'm like they get up to me and I got my head down. Then they dim. I'm like, I'm sorry. God.
If it's under 40 miles an hour, you're not going fast enough to need to see that far.
If you're in town, low beams.
Yeah. It's just, that's an irk for me.
Auto high beams could make an explanation for that if you turned them on and, it still doesn't, you still shouldn't be using your high beams in a neighborhood at 20 miles an hour. But if your car just decides it should.
I have auto high beams and I turn them off anytime I can. But even with the Ford, they turn off automatically anything under 40 miles an hour.
That's
They're
nice.
And I think that that's a reasonable number. I wish it would be like 50, but I hate getting, with modern headlights, I hate being flashed in the eyes and how bright that shit is. And I'm always wrong. I'm always like, I should flash these people because their high beams are on. And then they get closer and they're just like, it's not.
The new headlights get brand new.
Okay, fine.
Like I never flash my headlights at anybody because I'm like, those are probably just low beams. I just have to keep telling myself that.
And then you get closer and you're like, I can see the fog lights are on. Okay, I know. All right. Okay.
Does anybody play the game if you're in a lower car and you pull up to a light and someone comes up behind you and you try to move your
mirror?
Side of your mirror to reflect back at them.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, it feels like they're inside of your car.
Right.
I hate
that. Like, why you got to be so close? Then you look back, they're like 8 feet back off your bumper. You're like, that's reasonable.
Yeah. Oh, we just talked about that with your Miata, didn't we? That's funny.
Yep.
Yeah, I've gotten questions of why do you have the rear window shade up in the Audi when it's dark? It's like, well, let me tell you.
Come take a ride with me.
Take a ride with me the most. The dark.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, we were going to talk about our camp trip. We went on a camp trip, a winter camp trip.
It was going to be a snow
camp trip.
The
first of its kind.
Believe it or not. Yeah, it was going to be a snow camp trip, and it could have been a snow camp trip, but we did not camp in the snow.
Mm-hmm. It was just a cold camp trip.
Yeah, and it really wasn't that cold.
It wasn't terrible.
It was a baby step. It was a beautiful baby step.
Yeah, it was a good first time.
Yeah. We're like, ooh, does all our stuff work? Yeah.
I have to say I've been anti-snow camping just outwardly for the entire time. Mm-hmm. And I have not changed that position.
This trip didn't change that for you.
But cold camp seemed all right.
No.
No. Oh, okay.
Well. But what I was going to say is, you know, even with me thinking that at my, you know, intolerance of cold camping, mm-hmm. I heard many times people say, this is great. We should camp in the winter more often. And I thought, cool. You have fun with that.
You're like, and that's why I'm moving away.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, I was fine with it. I'd do it more. I think.
I would do it differently though. I would definitely not sleep in the back of the Jeep with a 5-year-old. There's not enough room for two people, even if he's small.
Yeah. Well,
that part sucked.
I'm pretty sure anybody could have told you that.
I've slept in the back of it by myself, no problem, tons of times. That kid Starfish is like, you wouldn't believe.
That's what they do.
Yeah, that's a kid.
That's a kid. I've had him for 5 years, I know, but it seemed like it was going to work better. The tent cot, him and I sleep in great, but it's because he can't spread out. It's too small. So he just kind of curls up and gets small, and it's fine. So next time, I think that's what we would do if we were going to do another cold camp. Because I have an electric blanket. We have enough sleeping bags. We were in the Jeep with the heater on, the diesel heater on, and like both of us were laying on top of our sleeping bags. Neither of us had any. We're just like spread out and trying to cool
had
off.
Had that thing up too high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You insulated it way too well with your cardboard sheet.
Cardboard. Yep. Guess what worked? No problem. That. Yeah.
Do you know about what elevation you were at?
Like
3,000
something? Yeah, it was 3,000 something. Okay. It was pretty low. Like we got out to the area and I was headed to the first like spot that I was thinking would be a good spot to camp in. It was literally right at the snow line. I was like, oh, okay, that works out okay. You know, it'd be the warmest spot we could be while on the snow. And we pulled down this road and we'd only been down this like section of road that a big snow cat had been on, and that's it. So everything's packed. So we're driving on it fine, except for Cody. And and so like nobody had, we hadn't aired down anything. And we, Sean and I were both like, well, let's just drive down there and see if we can get into that spot, you know, not aired, no airing down or nothing. That was a mistake. We get down this hill and it was a short hill, but you dropped a ways into this little gully where there's like a lake. And the snow was instantly terrible.
Yeah.
And then I went down to go get him.
Well, you went down to go get us after I got stuck trying to get to the little road, the spur road that would go into the camp spot. And I couldn't make it to that. So Sean had to pull me backwards and then get turned around. And then I had to turn around. And then, or did I rescue you first? That's what it was.
Well, yeah, I winched off of you. Yeah.
Yeah. You got stuck before I got stuck. Yep. And then we turned around after you got me unstuck again. And then it was the nightmare ensuing.
Yeah. Where and then I came down, came down, I got the hill, him unstuck. And then
I tried to turn around stuck. And got stuck.
Yeah. Yeah. The entire thing we learned in that moment was, you know, if the snow got messed up at all, mm-hmm. That was it. Game over. Turned to dust, and then you were buried. Well, because it was, even there, it was 2 feet deep at least.
Mm-hmm. And then hard packed in the middle. So you'd have this crust that you couldn't break through to get off the path, but it was also like axle high, and then everything else was gone. So it was like you're high centered, and everything else is made out of powder, but you can't, it's not powder there, so you can't go anywhere. It was great.
Yeah, bad news.
So, but we made all the right calls. We worked really hard, got to some places, and then we continued on and went home. Everything was fine.
Summed up the entire trip. All right. Well, I guess we're done with the podcast.
Yeah. See you guys tomorrow.
So once we got out of there, it was it's getting close to dark. Is it worth it to attempt to go and find someplace further without knowing the rest of the conditions, or do we go back to below the snow line and get a spot below the snow line? And that's kind of, that's what we end up doing. So it was like a, what was it, like 15, 20 minutes back on the road to get to this cool little spot that we saw like on the way out. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, so we didn't have to camp on the snow. So that was kind of nice to not like stand in the snow the whole time.
It was still light out when we were setting up.
It was still light out. Yeah. Still timed that okay. Yeah, I mean, it was overall, it was a pretty killer night. The fire was hot as hell.
Yeah, yep. Good fire.
Holy cow. That was
I found out that my tent was full of water and ice. Oh. So I did not sleep in my tent.
Mm-hmm.
It was neat. Luckily, I brought the kids' sleep set up, and it was incredibly comfortable. So that worked out. Don't know why. Don't know how. Mm. It was in Lapine being stored inside. And I didn't check it when I put it back on the car. I didn't even think about it. Just like, it's never been a problem. I always just open it up and my stuff is there and I'm good to go. And I thought about it before I left the house, but I was in too much of a hurry, so I just didn't. And then when I got out there, I couldn't even get the blanket out of it because it was frozen to the mattress.
I was like, Wayne's just been dumping water on it in the corner of the shop every once in a while.
Yeah, no kidding. I no idea. So I haven't opened it since. It's supposed to be pretty warm next week, so I'm thinking I might just figure it out then.
Yeah, open it up and run the diesel heater in it.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought about
it'll dry it out.
Yeah, I was on a big kick that I had used the little XPED mattress and I had liked it so much inside the car that I was like, I'm going to measure the tent to see if I can get one that fits it, and if I can, I'm just going to throw everything inside of the tent away, just get rid of it: mattress, topper, sleeping bag. And comforter that's in there, because
I think a lot of that can go in the washing machine, but if you want to throw it away, I feel like...
Yeah, it's an old comforter, and then the sleeping bag I only use is like sheets. I don't ever sleep in the sleeping bag. It's just like the bottom.
No anti-condensation mat?
Well, there is one.
I mean, there was condensation in there. But...
yeah, at the bottom, I guess.
It got full.
Like, a honeycomb on the very bottom, I think. Yeah, that thing never gets condensation in it, really. A little bit on the... like the tent fabric material, but it's got that quilted stuff that's always perfectly dry and nice. Not anymore.
Yeah, that's super weird.
Yeah, it must have been. It was sitting on its side, so which still doesn't make sense. You would think that it would. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, well, at any rate, Sean slept in his car.
Mm-hmm. So did I.
So did
mine was worse.
Yeah, and so did Jesse, and so did Oliver.
Yeah, mine was comfy. I had the diesel heater. I opened my little quarter window in the back and shoved the tube in there so I could get some air circulation too. It was probably like 65 in there all night. It was great.
Ooh, that's warm.
It was warm. I had like my feet out of my blanket and just
comfy as can be. You guys went real warm. I mean, Tyson did too from the sounds of it, but I mean, we know Tyson.
Tyson preheated his tent for like 3.5 hours.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to be my question. Did Tyson's heater work good?
It did.
Great.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Awesome.
Went successful. He had a successful diesel heater experience.
He did say that it leaked in the Sequoia when he took it home.
Oh, no.
He put diesel in it, put it in the Sequoia, and it leaked.
I remember him.
He's got bad
that.
Luck with those.
Something. Yeah, I don't know.
How does that happen?
I don't know.
Well, it has an air dimple in the cap. So if it's any kind of like diesel on the cap, it's going to leak. But you got to stop it a little early so that it just sloshes around without getting up to the cap and it's okay. But I've never had any issues. I had it stored on the outside of my vehicle. I've had them inside my vehicle. I've never leaked any diesel.
I don't think I've had any leaks either. But I mean,
good old Leaky Tyson. Yeah,
mine's been pretty good. I just ran it on the number three setting from the bottom, and it was overnight was like totally like it wasn't so warm that I was kicking my legs out like everybody else. It was just like just enough to be like, okay, my face isn't, I'm not waking up with my face just like
freezing.
It's just like, oh, it's just a comfortable room to sleep in with my sleeping bag. It's nice. Perfect. It was just like a perfect level.
I did not want a situation where like in the middle of the night, it got way colder and I had a complaining child. That was my whole thing. I was like, I'll sleep on top. And I was plenty comfortable. It was probably 72. In there.
Jeez.
I was just
balmy.
Just fine. Not that uncomfortable. And Miles still woke up at 5 o'clock and started poking me and kicking me and said, Dad, I'm going to play my video games. And I was like, 5 o'clock. Miles, stop it. And he goes, well, I'm going to play this video game. And it was the Wild Kratts, which is like this animal based TV show that's on PBS. In the game, every time you push a button, they go, "That's great, put on the shark suit." Or, "That's great, you're now a flying fish." Or, "You got to use the seahorse." And it's just yelling it. And I'm laying there angry and awake at 5 o'clock in the morning trying to convince myself that I'm not awake. I'm sleeping. I'm sleeping right now. He's fine. We're all fine. I'm sleeping. And then at around 8 o'clock, I was just like, fine. We can go out there. I made him wait until he saw other people. And every time, like, you got down, I think, to go to the bathroom or something. Maybe he's making shit up, but he's like, "I see Uncle Sean." I mean, and I was like, no, you don't. And he goes, "I think I do." And I was like, "No, you don't." And I look over and I see nobody. And he goes, "Oh, I think he went back up." And I was like, "Great. Well, then we're not going out there."
Yeah, I got up at, there was no one out. I got up at like 7 and waited around. And then I actually got out of the car at, I don't know, 7:50 or whatever.
Yeah, I didn't see any action until like right at 8. Yeah. That's when I was like, yeah, okay.
I was surprised. That,
I was
that
too.
Group of people don't usually stay or sleep that long.
Jesse especially.
Yeah. So when I woke up the first time at whatever, 6:30, right at daybreak, I was like, well, I guess if Jesse's out there, I'll make coffee. And then I look around, I was like, nope. All right, I'm going to go to sleep for a little bit. That is one benefit of sleeping in your car. It's like the best view of camp. Like, because, you know, up top, you have to, in the tent, you have to
zip it down.
Well,
because you didn't have any curtains on.
Yeah, that's right. I don't.
Got to get the curtain game going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, it gets light too early.
Which,
I can't, not in the winter.
I like,
so
yeah,
winter
exactly.
camping. Perfect.
Winter camping is better for that.
Summer, not so great.
Yeah.
I like that at home. I'm weird. I don't like to have like blackout curtains. I like to have the sun in the morning.
Oh, I hate it.
Got to be dark.
I don't even want to know if there's a moon.
I got to have it. It makes me feel trapped. If actually, Aaron, aren't you the same way? Didn't we have this conversation one time? Or is it? I'm thinking of someone else. Damn.
I like my room dark.
Damn. I'm like I'm aware that no one likes that. But
I wear a mask over my eyes and earplugs. I don't want the world to exist until I'm awake again.
Man.
Yeah.
That's
well,
for me.
You could rob me blind, and as long as you don't touch the comforter, I have no idea.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, did Steve make the trip?
No, Steve. I was curious
if there was a menu.
No.
Yeah.
Well, no. Royce actually came through. Shout out to Royce for his food.
His meat pies.
Mm-hmm. He brought some meat pies and these really good breakfast burritos, too.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. They're not better than Steve's. Steve, everything
don't
is...
Don't worry. He's not coming
still,
for your,
you still
for
have
your
the
action
crown.
Stuff, I promise.
But they were pretty good. And
there will
pinch.
Be a bake-off next year.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then, like, next day, what do we... I mean, we kind of rolled out about 10 or whatever.
Yeah,
We only saw two cars. There was a couple trains.
It was so,
that
was,
so like, loud.
We were relatively near a train track, and so and there was like a train track and a forest road crossing of it. So of course, it's got to blare its horn to get across. It was there, and in the middle of the night, there were a couple times where it was like, oh, well, that sucks. But I promise you guys, it was not as loud as when Steve and I were on the four-wheeler trip.
Oh, yeah.
When we were in Needles. Or not in Needles. It was, like, outside of Needles. But there was, like, this train that went right past where we camped the first night.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, you know, closer than the train is to the shop right now.
Wow.
Like, it was way too loud. It sucked. But, yeah, we saw those two trucks. And that was the only vehicles we saw the whole weekend.
Yeah.
So we get out and we go. And this time, Sean was already aired down to like 3.
Which made the drive, the 15 minutes back and then back up to the snow, really interesting, because it was like this really tight little road and you'd have to swerve around things. And I had zero steering response. So I could turn the wheel like a quarter turn before it did anything. So it's fun.
Yeah. So we get back to the snow. And like I said, it had this big snow cat, obviously, because the up at the top of the hill there's like a watchtower, so obviously they were running supplies and or people in and out of it, and that's why. So it was like great for us to drive on, because it was like heavy packed, and then plus with the weather the way it's been, it's just been freezing it, melting it, freezing it, so it was like super firm.
Yeah.
And so we were doing totally fine once everybody aired down. I mean, almost everybody was single digits right away, just as the, like, okay, we saw how bad it was. Just go to single digits now. We'll be all, then we might be okay. And until we got to the shaded side of the hill.
Yeah.
And Sean and I made it up fine. Royce almost made it up fine.
He was so close, and he just fell right off of the tracks.
Just right at the very end. But everybody else behind them, it was
to be fair,
it was big issue.
To be fair, the two least capable, least ground clearance vehicles were right next to each other, which was probably a mistake that we made early on. And
well, they were a car apart. There was a Tyson between the two of them.
No, Tyson was behind the. It was. Oh, you're right. No, you're right.
Wow. Yeah, welcome.
To be fair, but then he wasn't. It didn't count again because he broke his winch.
Oh, no.
So that's why I cut him off.
Yeah.
He was capable to get himself through, mm-hmm. but he wasn't able to help anybody. And the other problem was we kept trying to use these kinetic ropes, which are great in so many situations, but
not in that.
Just
not in that
Oliver snow. Would bury every time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not his fault, but he had power and weight, and then he'd hit the end of the rope.
Not about power.
And it would go, brah, and enough to spin the tires and sink.
Anything was enough to spin the tires on that.
Yeah. So once we stopped using the kinetic ropes and we just used them as like tug alongs, we were able to just make it better. Yeah,
it was just use them as like just get
some tension
on it so that like the truck isn't using only the truck to get moving. And it was the first time ever that we've used traction boards and they actually work.
It was amazing.
As soon as we started using the traction boards,
we were making 8 or 9 feet.
Everything was moving along. We got Robert way out. Like he was way stuck.
We destroyed them.
And
though.
We got Robert. Well, just the one.
The other one I thought was still cracked on the.
Yeah.
The
one
end.
Was cracked like in the middle, but the other one was totally fine.
One is missing a quarter of it. Like it's just gone, mm-hmm. yarded out.
Yeah. It was a weird success. Like,
that all of us rooted against.
Yeah, we hate traction boards, but maybe this will work this time. And it did. And it was just because the snow was so soft that as soon as you put anything on it, everything sank. Like if you came off of what was frozen, it was just instantly buried.
Yeah.
So
even
if
you're
on
the frozen
to get on top of what wasn't frozen and then like get everybody adjusted to drive on the frozen, and you couldn't like do the typical power through it to get through.
No chance.
Cause you would just, you'd sink. Instantly dig and sink. So it was just like it would turn into go as slow as possible.
Do not turn a tire.
just creep along, staying on whatever is obviously packed and frozen still. And
but by the time, I was last on the way up that hill, and by the time I was going over stuff, the frozen parts were cracking along the edges, like the frozen sections
were also
sinking in.
Wider than the narrow cars that
were
ahead of you. So.
But I was just like, as I was driving up it, I would watch like this crack appear all the way down the side on the side of my stuff as I was going, and then I'd get up to another spot, and I'd be like, okay, and then another crack would appear, and I'm like, even the good stuff's not going to be good for very much longer, which was my argument when we got to the top. Because Jesse wanted to turn around and go back, and there was a few people who were like, going back is the way to go. It took us so long to get up to the top. We should go back. And I was like, I don't think it's a good idea to go back. I think that we spent 4.5 hours going here, and all we did was ruin everything on the way.
Yeah, we know that it's going to be a bunch of... I mean, I understood the argument of the evil we know versus the evil we don't, but... when there's that many holes that you know as soon as somebody's in, you're not getting out without someone recovering.
Yeah, you're going to be stuck even on the way down.
Yes.
It's not going to happen.
And there weren't very many trees to winch off in those areas. It's not like first car couldn't pull themselves through.
Cliff edge, basically, because it was like a shelf road to get through.
Yeah.
So
I think this is one of the few times where you and I were both like, same page, we continue on the sunny side where the weather's going to have helped the snow, and ideally the snowpack is higher elevation. Which turned out to be mostly correct until we got towards the bottom in that other shady spot that got that caught all the low hanging fruit again. Yeah. But man, it was a lot of work, but it was the fun kind where nobody was that like nothing was broken. Nobody was like, this is the end. We weren't, it wasn't dark. We weren't freaking out. It was just, all right, we're going to have to put some work in to get this next car through. And we're gonna have to put some work in to get this next Tacoma through. And this is going to, it's going to be fine. It'll just take a little while.
There was when Sean and I were up at the top, there was a couple of,
some of the radio messages,
that felt a little doomsday-y, but it was like, once Sean and I went back in Sean's car to help Royce get through the last little section that he was stuck in.
Mm-hmm.
And then I walked the rest of the way down. It was literally just the, okay, change plans of how we're getting Cody unstuck. And then it was like, everything was fine again.
Yep.
Just the process was started over and it worked fine.
Yeah.
Until Tyson broke his winch because he was hooked up to Robert trying to pull himself and Robert. And,
oh, I didn't realize that's what had happened there.
And so what?
Okay. Well, it was just the fuse, though. I mean, it was just the.
It wasn't the fuse.
It's the fuse in the rope. That's what they call it. That screw is the fuse in the rope.
Yeah. That holds the rope to the spool.
Oh, okay.
So he had over spooled out like it was at its complete limit. And so it didn't have enough wraps on the spool when he actually put pressure on it. And it just busted busted that screw.
Okay.
So
that's not too bad.
So it wasn't like a terrible thing, but it did cause a, okay, now, do something now different. We've got to figure out something else.
Next try.
Yeah. But yeah, we got to the top, hung out up there, argued about which way we were going to go, and then continued the same way. And it was the correct
choice, absolutely,
like you said, because there were some narrower spots. And the tracks weren't as good because they were they weren't like super wide snowcat tracks. They were like a track.
People fell off them way less.
Tracks.
For some reason, which I don't know why.
You think so?
I think everybody figured out how to drive on them a little bit too.
Well, and everybody that was still running double digit air pressures finally went down to single digits.
Yeah.
And did better. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so we did that. There was a couple of cool spots that, like, the drifts had, like, melted completely out. And then so you, like, kind of had to crawl through this and back onto the next one and shit like that. So it was, it was kind of a cool little road. And then, like Mike said, at the very bottom where it, like, flattened out, but it was super, like, forested and, you know, shady. Then the snow changed again, and it like went to no frozen stuff, just the powder, and it was like this.
It was pretty flat,
and it was just completely flat. So as soon as we got into it, it was like,
don't
slow down, just go. And even Royce had mentioned like he saw a couple of little out routes, and he was like, oh, I kind of want to drive over there and see what that does, but I also don't want to be that guy that does that and then gets stuck.
Yep.
So, and I was like, yep, I saw exactly the spot you're talking about. And we just had to mash through it. But then there were some issues in there too.
Yeah. What happened? How did Cody just got stuck because
he was not even in the wrong spot. Yeah. He was exactly on the path.
Just the lowest with the smallest tires and the narrow tires. Yeah.
Yep. And he was down at like, I think he was at 6 pounds or something. He went to 6 first. He was on the uphill when we were still doing the two-wheel drive challenge. He was just
lasted
like...
lasted 200 feet.
He got slightly stuck. Like, he slid over just a little bit. And I was like, what are you going to go down to? He's like, I take the cores out, and when I stop hearing it hiss, I put them back in. I was like, oh, okay.
Sounds good.
That seems aggressive for some, 32 or 33-inch tires and non-beadlock wheels, but I like what
wheels,
I like what you're doing.
I guess they're afterward wheels, but...
Well, you did great. I mean, on everything that wasn't too deep, he was doing awesome. And then as soon as it got too deep, there's just so much that hangs down on a regular mid-sized truck.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. So then what did we get? We got you, me, and Royce got through without an issue.
Yep.
And then we hear on the radio from Oliver, hey, Sean, you want to come back here and use some of those bald eagles?
Yeah.
Because he was stuck? Or who was stuck?
Cody was stuck.
Cody was stuck.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
And he was in, like, Cody was stuck holding everybody up.
Right.
And I think, did you guys try to pull him backwards or anything?
We tried to pull him backwards. we tried to figure out if it would be worth trying to get forwards, and then, like, somebody tried to walk out the side and went hip deep. Well, that's never going to work. Mm-hmm. And so we pulled them backwards and we pushed them, and we were using max tracks. We were doing all the things that we could. And we just weren't making any progress because he kept sinking every moment that he was off the traction boards. And he didn't have enough. Like, there's no lockers. There's no traction control that was working well enough to keep. Like, you couldn't just keep traction boards on the left side and keep him walking up, because the other side would just spin and he would just sink and that side would stop. So we were just making no progress. And we were like, well, somebody's going to have to come back and yard him through here. Which you did. And you turned around just fine, which was amazing.
It surprised me too. I think such low pressure, and like the frozen stuff was still there on the sides. And that's like what you guys fell into with like shoes on. But with my tires, I watched it. It just got on top and I was like, okay, well. So I just whipped it around. It took three or four shots to do it, but like no drama.
I waited for you to dig each time.
It was at 2.5 PSI at this point. Yeah. I think, so.
Well, yeah. And then I was going to say, so I hook up to Cody and I start going. And then all of a sudden I was complaining before about how much I had to turn, like how much steering input I'd have to give. And I was giving like a half of turn of input, maybe a quarter turn, I guess, of, you know, like 90 over. And I just couldn't, like, it was making, just felt weird. And all of a sudden I was like, Cody, you think you can drive forward? He said, yeah, I think it's fine here. So I stop and we unhook him and I just walk around to the front of the truck and I lost my passenger front inner bead, which is funny because everybody, you were talking about people being on stock wheels or whatever in their single digits.
It's but the guy, one guy the on one bead guy locks. On actual bead lock. Well,
lost Jesse's bead. On bead locks.
Oh, Jesse's got bead locks too. Yeah.
And 40s, and he was at like 18 PSI on that hill.
Well, that truck's
and
he's heavy.
Like, he's like, I keep digging holes and I'm like, why are you so high in pressure?
Yeah.
You have 40s and bead locks. You should be. Yeah.
Does he have bead locks on?
Yeah, they're the same wheels as mine.
Same wheels as yours. That's right. Yep. Okay.
But yeah, and then we just aired it up. It turns out there was no problem.
Went right back on.
It was just Cody and I, and we were looking at it, and it was a real head-scratching, oh, shit moment, where I was like,
well, I heard you on the radio.
I just said what happened and then got out.
Yeah.
And then I was like, Cody, do you have a high lift with you? No. Okay. Well, and then I said, I guess let's just try the easy thing first. Let's just see what happens. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, okay, let's pump it up. Let's see if we can, like, push on it or something. I was like, yeah. I just hooked the air hose to it and it just started inflating. And I was like, oh,
there we go.
Okay, cool. Aired it back up to, you know, I didn't even check what appeared to be 3 or 4 PSI based on the squish on the other tires. And then we just motored on down. And then
I never said anything else about it.
No, I said that I said we pumped it up.
You got it right and said you got it back. Oh, we and they were on their way.
On our back stuck people, we had no idea. We just were like, well, I hope Sean's going to be fine by the time we get there because we're going to be motoring through here.
That's interesting. We must have had some radio problems because I kept trying to radio to you guys after we had gotten back down to no snow. Remember calling in? Because I was like, where are they? And I kept checking and nobody said anything for
it took a while to
10 minutes or so. And then finally someone was like, all right, well, Oliver's finally unstuck or whatever the thing was. And then you guys came along.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun just back there. And then it was slightly frustrating until everybody got on the same page, and it was fun again, just getting people moving.
Yeah.
But
were people just not going?
No, it was like 5 people had 4 ideas on how 3 of us should do stuff. And it was like, okay, yes, but, and by the time like you got back, I had already yelled at everybody a little bit because they had Oliver hooked up to your brother, and Oliver would pull him to the hole Oliver dug. We'd get Oliver out and he'd hook up to your brother and he'd pull him to the next hole. And then I was like, stop doing that. Oliver, you have a winch. Stop trying to use kinetics on this because you just dig a hole every time. And as soon as they winched both of them, like they were starting to move that again. But now there was 9 holes, which made, you know, only 15 feet, but it was the 9 holes of doom on the side of a hill that we had to get everybody else through.
What was Oliver driving?
The Bronco.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah. It's his fiance's Bronco, actually. But it's like it's not a brick nose.
That is a brick
nose. It is a brick nose. Yes. Okay. What's the one that's not a brick nose that's like that?
Bull nose.
Bull nose. Okay.
I mean, that's
different.
A bull nose is what's that white one that's sitting right out there in the shop right now. It's more 70s looking.
Yeah. It's the built, it's the in
the one that looks like that, that isn't that, is the arrow nose, which is the traditional OBS.
So many noses. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
the one that there's another
OJ Bronco. There's another one like the late 70s, early 80s that is not like this one out here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like the one that Oliver's driving. It's in the middle. Like Google 79 Bronco, and that's what I'm thinking about.
I think that's still technically a bullnose, but it's the
it's a different body style.
It's a different grill or whatever.
Oh, no, not 79. Hold on. Man.
Yeah. Let's let him figure this out.
What was Cody driving? A Tacoma?
His Tacoma, yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. Basically stock. I see what you're saying now about this
and
one.
And then Robert was in his Wrangler.
Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorites, I think.
And then Raw Dog.
Oh, yeah. Jesse with Raw Dog.
Yep.
Yep. Which
had a transmission issue
that just went away.
Royce with his Tacoma. That's
long bed. Okay.
Long bed, but at least it had 35s. They're skinnies, though. That was kind of his downfall, was it was a skinny.
We didn't even talk about...
What type of Bronco is that?
That's a bull. So that is bull.
Yep.
Yeah. But the one that's out there, it has...
It's just like mid-cycle refresh. It's not a change in the nose.
Yeah. That's still a bull, but it's a different, like...
Okay.
It was just a different grill.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I didn't know that. Anyways.
Well, so I wanted to talk a little bit about Raw Dog's transmission issue that was there, but then gone. And then also Raw Dog had a startup issue where like the fuel pump wouldn't prime. And those are the only two issues that he had, and both of them just resolved themselves. Nobody fixed anything.
It's the best kind of issue.
Yeah. We didn't correct anything. Raw Dog is self-healing. And it worked out both times. But we were up on the hill getting everybody else unstuck, and Jesse and I were standing there talking. I was like, what if it doesn't go forward anymore? Like, what do we do in that case? Like, we have to abandon you. They have to go that way, and we have to go this way.
Jesse.
I was just thinking in my head, I was like, we're doomed.
Jesse's going to yell at me for this because I'm sure that I misunderstood him somehow. But I asked him like three times, are you having slip issues or are you just in the snow? And I don't think he ever answered me. And on the radio, he's like, it's definitely slipping. And I'm like, but you've lost like this much fluid, I think, maybe more. I really don't know. But like that, is it slipping? And it just, I think it might be slipping. Okay.
I gave him my, stop slip.
Or, oh, well.
Yeah, it was fine.
Never mind. It's fixed now.
I had a full bottle of Lucas Oil stop slip, stop leak, all of the above. It was, I don't know if he ever used it, but he had it. And that's when it started working just fine.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh. Okay.
He made it all the way home.
Yeah. Well,
I'm good.
Anyways, who knows? Who knows what happened?
No.
Jesse can tell us later.
My transfer case leaks a lot now.
Oh, no.
And so does my front diff.
Really?
Yeah. Why? So front diff, and I found out that this is like some other people have had this problem. It's the four-wheel drive actuator where it goes into the little, you know, axle center section. Mm-hmm. It's like this four-bolt little housing, and it's got a gasket on it. And you can see when you look at it, like the gasket's like ripped and like is coming out of the spot there. And
is that the thing that had the skid that you squished?
No.
Out crawling? Okay.
Nope. So that's the transfer case.
Well, yeah, but I just thought it squished up into the another module on the side of the transfer case. I was just trying to remember.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
The vacuum pumps that are right next to the transfer case.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's.
So I got to pull that off. Luckily, I'm not that far away from the 40,000 mile or 45,000 mile drivetrain service interval. So I was like, well, I'll just do that early, I guess. Do the fluids there. But the transfer case, I do have some concerns because it's that plug that I halfway ripped out knew that it would eventually start leaking. And apparently this trip was
when it started.
What like started to really get it to start leaking. So I got to pull the plug back out and hopefully the threads in the transfer case aren't too terrible. So I can
tap it and helicoil it.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to do something. We'll see there. But those are the only issues I bad. I didn't. I only got stuck on the first day.
I got stuck once.
That was it.
I was the last one through that last bit of flat stuff, and I got stuck there. I just had to hook up to Jesse and pull myself 9 inches. It was 9 inches the whole weekend that I had to pull.
Well,
got out.
Other than the first day.
What about, yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about, the first day.
You had the longest pull on the first day.
No, no, no.
That was a rescue attempt.
Extension.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a rescue attempt. On it. It doesn't count.
Mm-hmm. No, that was just getting you turned around.
That was a rescue attempt. I was trying to come back and save you guys. So yeah. Really, you guys were just extra stuck, and I was down there with you.
Mm.
I could justify this in my head all day long.
Okay.
I felt very proud of myself for not getting super stuck on that first day. Like, we got stuck enough to need help, but I didn't make it really bad, because usually what happens in that scenario is I decide that I'm going to power through, and I like kind of half tried for one shot and then went, this isn't the move.
Yeah.
This is not how we do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I'll just start sawing at the wheel. And then I was like, no. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just sink instant. Yeah. Overall though, it was a pretty all right trip.
Yeah, it was fun. Well, we're home like at a reasonable time. It was nice.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing, I did have that hiccup on the drive home.
Oh, yeah.
On
what that was that about?
I have no idea. Never did anything else ever again after that. Yeah. So I'm thinking it's...
Did you turn it off and back on again?
it was fine after that. I got out. I think I told Sean. I was like, there's not a big pile of oil under it. And it started right back up and all the lights went away. So I think we're just going to be fine about it.
Yeah.
But I think I'm trying to figure out what happened. But I have a big dent in my gas tank. And I'm thinking that uphill, like we were stomping on it, I just had enough fuel past the dent in the back half of the gas tank that I didn't have enough at the pickup, because it misfired, stuttered, lost a bunch of power, and it went into limp mode. But it didn't, like, die. It didn't have a rod knock. It didn't have anything else go on at all. And then once we got flat, it started running better again. And then once we got back into it, it was fine. But I didn't ever give it the beans again on that uphill slope until after we got fuel. When we got fuel, the next big kind of upgrade that we had on the way on 97, I was just like, all right, let's see. And I just ran fine and did all the normal stuff and made all the normal sounds. So I really think it was probably a starvation issue. I just didn't have enough fuel at the pickup because I have a huge dent in my gas tank.
You guys used a lot of fuel on that trip.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't put fuel in the last time. I just topped it up in wherever Crescent, but I did. I mean, yes. First off, yes. Secondly,
I did the whole trip.
You have a stock vehicle
on 37s and no gears.
I'm just saying, it's more modern.
Must be the ultimate nine.
That's what it is. You got an economy mode.
Economy on the road. So
that's all it takes.
Right. Big shout out to Pete at Ultimate Nine.
Honestly, on the highway, you're probably getting better than stock fuel economy.
That's a good chance.
No.
Other than the weight, I guess.
Given the power, though.
No, it definitely doesn't.
See, you have enough horsepower. Most of you have enough horsepower. All of you but me have enough horsepower to turn these bigger tires without really affecting it as far as, like, you're just making it work. My Jeep is working.
Well, yeah. I've also got 8 speeds. So yeah. At highway, like, even with the wrong gears and tall tires, I still don't think it's getting to 8.
Yeah.
It can't make it there because of the tires, but even still, it's like right around 2 grand when I'm running like 70. So
yeah,
it's not bad.
No, I remember having one. It was nice. I was only on 33s, but it was still, just having that much horsepower was great. I have like 186 or something new on my Jeep, and it doesn't have that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not great. I really, this trip has put me very hard into the, I want a V8, I want tons, and I want 40s. I don't want to be limited.
All those things sound right, yeah.
Anymore. So I think I'm going to solid axle swap a Tahoe. Do tons underneath a Tahoe, so then I don't have to do a motor swap.
There we go.
Well, I don't have to do a motor swap that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's genius.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of upgrades, I pulled the trigger and ordered those Sumo transfer case gear sets.
Nice. Did you get low and high range? Mm-hmm. Heck yeah.
Whoa. Yeah.
Cool.
My front output seal is leaking also.
Oh. Well, all the more reason.
Yeah, you might as well.
And my drain plug is all rounded off, so they're going to have to chisel it out. So
cool.
I found that out and was like, well, hey, see if we can get a count with these guys and
nice. Charge it. Yeah.
Nice. I'm gonna do that too sometime. Hey, Luke.
In Colorado.
Gonna use your garage. Get ready.
When I was getting ready for the trip, I was rebuilding one of my lower control arms and put a new axle in the front of the Jeep. And I was underneath of it and I started looking around. That front skid plate I bought before the Rubicon, I never really paid much attention to it because it's still shiny and black and new looking. It is bent to hell. That thing is crushed up into the oil pan in like three places. It protected it. The oil pan's not dented or damaged, but I apparently was absolutely correct in buying that before the Rubicon because I used it a lot from the looks of things.
You couldn't tell that it was
pushed
up into it?
No, it looks nice and clean. From the top and from the sides, it all looks like it's in the same spot. Like
while driving. Because I knew for sure when my skid plate was up against my oil pan on the Rubicon because I could feel it in the car.
No, you can't feel the vibration. Yeah. Like, you can't feel anything in the Jeep.
Right away, it was like, oh,
something's not right.
Something's not right here. Sure enough.
That's funny.
The skid plate attaches to the motor mount bolts. So all of it still shakes in the same way. The skid plate I have for my motor plate. It attaches to the...
Not the frame. It attaches to the rubber isolator part of the motor mount.
Yeah, it goes up to the motor mount on the motor side, and then it bolts to two frame points down, and then it comes back to my transfer case skid. So the only place it's actually attached to a frame side piece is at the transfer case.
Hmm. Interesting.
Hmm. Well, would you pay money for this?
Is it less dented?
Yeah, good enough.
Let's do it. Am I starting with the biggest or the smallest?
Ooh, biggest.
Biggest?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So here we go. Oh.
Hopefully there's a horse on it.
A horse?
Yeah.
All right.
Like that, I think it was an Earth Cruiser video. Sure.
Yes.
All right. The horse on the back. This here is a 99 GMC 3500 crew cab and chassis ambulance conversion, currently listed at $11,000.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's got quite the wrap on it.
It's got a cat engine.
Got a dang old cat.
Air brakes.
Unfortunately, it's a 4x2.
Oh.
Yeah. Air brake 50-inch military tires. Custom built from the ground up. Has a gas cook stove and fridge in the box. Tons of storage. So that's why it's so cheap.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's two-wheel drive.
Interesting. Yeah.
It's got spiked lug nuts because that's what you need.
Are they spiked or are they long?
They're spiked.
Okay, I couldn't
see. It's got stacked light bar on the roof so that you can see the sky.
In the future.
The wrap only goes on half the car.
Inside's
rough.
Not looking great.
Inside's rough. It's got his water tank in the back seat.
Oh, it's been a storage unit.
Yeah, this is a storage unit, not a camping
this
unit.
Needs a little work.
Yeah, this thing needs
20 minutes of moving your shit out of there. You could ask for $12,000.
Still got. I wonder if it comes with these little slip-ons here that are sitting there.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Well, okay. I'm gonna no.
I'm gonna say no now. I was gonna say yes, but I'd
man,
say
everybody
no.
all at once. Yeah, I'm also gonna say no. I did want to make one. One point, though.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I've said this before. Ambulance conversions
freak me out. This before, yeah.
Not into those. Just want to say that.
Is it the dead people? And
yeah, that's exactly what it is, Mike. It's
those are spiked lugs.
Yeah, I see that now. I had to lean in. I was like, maybe they're just long. Maybe they're just long studs.
Yeah.
It's so far away, but the idea is...
It
kinda
could
cool.
be cool, yeah. but it's like...
It, yeah. You know what's funny? The two-wheel drive part about it is like the least offensive part to me. It is the disgusting interior front to back that gets
in. Yeah. The whole inside.
The whole inside.
A good car wash would have really made a difference.
Yeah, but it's like the headliner's hanging, the dash is all cracked up. Like, no thanks.
Yeah, man.
Not well cared for.
The wrap only being on half the truck is weird, too.
You can only see half at one time.
That's true.
That is true. Mm. And also, go back one. So it's got a pass through, but it kind of looks like it's not finished in between.
It does look like that's open air right there behind the, like.
That's not good.
I wonder if there's, let's see, can we see?
That's what that towel on the seat's for. Oh. You got to shove it in there when you stop.
Yeah.
They don't have another angle of it to really tell.
Well, that's because then you'd see the hole on the side.
You just need to
why they didn't wrap the other side yet.
Avoid that part.
Yeah.
Read the description. Don't ask him questions. You got to come look in person. Mm. So you can't, don't go asking stupid questions like, is the cab attached to the back?
Yeah.
No, right. Come look with your eyes.
Come look with
your
eyes.
It says right there, it runs excellent.
Oh, well, that's perfect.
Dang, old C6500 top kick.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, I see where they were going, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely a lot of ideas there to finish.
Good initiative.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so the next one, we're going to switch over to this guy.
Right. It's the ambulance
episode. It's the ambulance
episode. This one's going to make me, I can already tell, this is going to make me.
7.3 Power Stroke.
Go
it's
on.
Only got 52,800 miles.
Also from Idaho. What's with Idaho Another people Idaho, in these yeah.
This one's $29,000.
Okay.
Okay. It's got a bunch of new stuff. Like, this thing's looking more
it's
complete.
Set up,
he's
yeah.
got a whole electric setup here.
Dang.
Three 390 watt solar panels on it.
Ooh.
Got a 12 ton jack.
Speed.
Man, like, what is in a spa? 20 liter.
It's got a spa?
It's got a water heater.
Yeah.
Nice.
Built frame with 80/20. And the coolant line, weird. There's a lot of, man.
Yeah, this thing is like made to live out of.
Purchased new and not installed. So it comes with a bunch of shit that they haven't even done to it. A fridge, frame to hold the fridge, some plywood.
Cool.
Screws, fasteners.
Please come take all my shit. Yeah, I'm tired of having it.
Getting rid of everything.
My wife says it's me or the van.
Oof. No.
It's still just a van.
I mean,
it's an ambulance.
This is just like that. It's just like the Gladiator with all the parts that were like a good idea, but as a whole, it was not.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably, it's that without being built. It's like, hey, here's all these parts that to make an amazing.
The electrical system's built.
Yeah.
Okay, but outside of that.
I started this and then. Didn't want to continue.
Yeah, this
you
looks like
it.
I put $8,000 into my solar and 12 volt system, and now
and now my wife makes me
sound
sleep in the van.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's
It's still just a shell, so it's like it is a shell ambulance with the electrics. That
no
full stop. That's
four wheel drive conversion. No,
it's not four wheel drive.
Yeah,
it's still two wheel drive.
That ain't it. For me, I'm gonna know.
No, for me, dog.
No, also.
Sean said no earlier.
Yeah,
so. I'm a big no.
Yep. Yeah, that one's not great either.
So. All right, so we're van haters or we're ambulance haters.
Ambulance. Yeah, yes.
Ambulance. Yeah. Okay, so this one here,
this next ambulance
is a 2012. It says long travel Tundra family expedition rig.
Hmm. Which
45,000? It's in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
miles.
No accidents.
Okay. Time for your top end reseal and timing cover.
112,000 miles. It's still got 430s. It's the Crew Max.
Big cap.
It's got a GFC on it.
Okay.
Okay. Front suspension is full camber, 2.5s. With King 2.5s and bypasses.
Ooh,
and air bumps.
Mm-hmm.
Rear springs are Icon RXTs with King 2.5 reservoirs and ride right airbags.
Is that long travel or mid travel?
Long travel.
That's long travel because it's plus 2.5
okay
per side.
Got it. Okay.
It's long travel because it says long travel.
All you got to do is say it. Seems mid to me, all you got to say it. It's got rock sliders. It's got a winch. Tire carrier on the bumper. 46-gallon transfer flow fuel tank.
Ooh,
that's a lot of gallons.
You could do that whole weekend trip we did without having to get gas.
Jeez Louise. 18 inch wheels. Let's see. 35s.
I don't even have to see anymore. I'm in on this.
It's got the it does have the wider flares too.
Yep, got glass on the front.
Yeah.
Got a paint matched GFC.
No, that's just a white GFC.
Show me service history and I'm in.
Isn't it a white isn't it a white truck?
Yeah.
So
it's
that,
not paint matched. I think it's, do you know what paint match means?
Yes.
This is like the fully dressed engine, right? It's just you gotta paint match means the paint matches, not that it's the same
from
quote
here,
color.
The size from here and looking
at that.
How many
different whites there are?
There's only three. Toyota has all of them.
Yeah.
You don't think the GMC guys would look at the Toyota white and be like, that's the one we're going to pick?
Well, obviously not because it looks off
white. Yeah,
because
it's not that ivory.
It looks pretty darn close at a weird angle when it's real small on somebody else's computer.
Go back to that picture, Colin.
No. I don't want to know. I don't want to even look at this. It definitely looks like a different color, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It looks more
looks a little cream.
An 80s refrigerator.
And actually, honestly, this truck has three whites on it because those glass fenders
are
wrong,
different
too.
Yeah. Yep. Ooh, I wonder if they're not painted. Maybe.
They probably aren't. Probably. That'd be my guess.
Man, that thing is... Bigger so tires
there's
and a
three
a
whites, like I said.
There's three whites on this thing.
Good point. Yeah, it's sweet. I've always said.
Yeah, I'd pay money for that.
Would you pay money for that?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
What was his asking?
Doesn't matter.
40 something? I don't really care, but I'm just interested.
Yeah, it was 40 grand, I think.
Yeah.
Which,
no.
Tell us why.
I've never liked these Tundras. I think these Tundras are ugly as hell.
Oh. All right. I think they're all right.
The newer ones... Only slightly better looking than these.
Yeah.
They don't do it for me. $45,000 is the price.
Yeah.
It's got the right stuff.
Yeah.
But that's not the Tundra I like.
If it was previous generation, the first gen Tundra, you'd be all over it.
If it was the first gen Tundra, I'd be all over
it. I would be more into it as that. But functionally, these things are huge, and they have all the storage in the world.
Yeah, they're
and
much bigger than the first Tundra.
They're pretty. I actually kind of don't mind
and
the
more
look
power.
Of them.
Yes, yeah. I get and that. The power it, is I get nice. That it is a quote potentially better truck, but
aesthetically.
We've talked about this before. If I don't want to look at it,
I don't want
to drive it.
That's fair.
I want to turn around and be like, "Yeah, it's a good looking truck."
Yep.
For me, that not so much.
Yeah. I think I can get away with it for that because something like that, it's already white. I can sticker it with Win Home Inspection gear and I only have to have one truck. I don't have to get.
You say that, but then you would still have multiple things.
One truck for this. I still would have another car and another wheeler and the other stuff. I'm just saying it's got multiple purposes for me.
Sure.
I could work out of that. Imagine pulling up to a job and popping your GFC so you could sit in the back and.
And work.
And finish your job.
Your little laptop-y stuff.
There's enough
And then take a nap.
Yeah, there you go. For the nap, for sure. Yep. I was going to say, there's enough room in that cab.
Nap.
You could set up a command center in there. Mm-hmm. They have a center console that's as wide as this table, I swear.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. All right, last one. This is the smallest one.
Ooh.
Yes. Aaron gets early preview.
Oh, boy.
Sorry. All right.
I ruined the spot.
97 GeoTracker Sport, and it's a 13,000. But the cool thing about this LSI is that it's on Camso 4S1 tracks.
Those are like side-by-side tracks.
Runs perfectly.
That's amazing.
Runs perfect.
That's my favorite.
Gets you absolutely anywhere you want to go, regardless of the time of year, it says. Hmm. Ryan, snow, mud, it can do it all. prefer to sell as Ryan, a package deal, but willing to separate.
Does it come with tires?
Yeah.
Okay.
So 13 comes with tracks, and the tracks you're talking, I mean, it's like you're getting a free GeoTracker almost.
Yeah, they're expensive.
Because tracks ain't cheap. But solid axle swapped in the front.
Winch bumper, winch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rebuild engine, high steer. Let's see, new rear springs, new links, winch, upgraded alternator. It's got 421 transfer gears, cute little 33s for when you're not running the tracks. But yes, and you're right, they are UTV.
Yeah.
Tracks, because it's a little Because
it doesn't need any more than that. Yeah.
It's within the weight
limit. It weighs less than a four-door Polaris, I'm sure. Yeah.
It's flat green.
That's rad with the tires on.
Yeah.
And it's got the hard top, too.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. So.
Be hard to sleep in the back of that.
Yes, it would be hard to sleep in the back of that. You'd probably need your ground tent on your roof.
Yep. Rooftop ground tent.
The cool interior is pretty seat. Good. Yeah.
Favorite good. Seats.
It's got cool little patterned seats. A couple pictures of the tracks.
Where would you store them, you know?
Out there in the snow. Look at that thing. Jeez.
Bet he would have been fine this weekend.
Yep, he would have. Would have floated right along. So, yeah, I'm a yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm on the fence.
Really?
I don't know if... I don't like the Sidekick as much as, like, Trackers. I don't like the two-door for some reason. Like what Colin's saying, they'll, like, look back at it and think it's cool. I would have a hard time with this.
This is a Tracker.
What's the... Sidekick is...
Four-door.
The four-door? Okay.
And well, it's a Suzuki.
I had it backwards.
And yeah, that's a Suzuki.
Well, they're the same thing.
same, but
different. We're splitting hairs.
Okay? I see that. Yeah, I'll say yes. I would pay money for that.
Boy, begrudgingly, yeah. He says yes.
Join us.
Weirdly, the tracks are not what get me. It looks better on the tires, and I think so too. To me, I'm like, all right, cool. It's straight axle swapped, and it's on. Mm-hmm. You know, it looks good. The tracks are like a, yeah, okay.
I love these fun. Seats, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would literally never use them except for the snow. That would be the only time I'd, but it's like I said, for that price.
You have to trailer it out, and
it's like you're getting a free Geo Tracker.
With your tracks.
You sell, with your tracks.
You air down a lot, and you go sell those tracks, and now you've got fuel for the next 26 years on that motor.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, that's all I had for you.
Cool.
Good selection.
All right, so we hate ambulances.
Yeah.
Toyotas are mid in the group. I guess 3/4. What would you... Extra That's... mid? Because we lost a quarter. And then Tracker's a winner. Not what I would have...
A winner, but only begrudgingly.
yeah.
Because of Sean.
Yeah.
A quarter of it was begrudgingly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could have messed that whole thing up.
Gone either way.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Well, anybody else got any good news before they go?
I don't. This is my last time in the seat, though.
Yep.
I don't want to
visit someday.
For now, I'll probably get a different seat, though.
Well,
when I come back,
gonna bring a new seat with you.
Yeah, yeah. In they'll make me sit over there.
Yeah,
next to Colin.
Right. Yeah, instead of across.
Yeah, that was it. I just wanted to make that thought.
Last in studio.
Yeah, last in studio.
Which means by next Wednesday, I expect you to have a microphone and a mixer and whatnot for your house.
Yeah, I'll see you on my AirPods in the kitchen.
In the kitchen with the dog.
Yeah. My stuff is supposed to show up next Wednesday, so.
Yeah. Right on time.
Yeah.
Right
on time. Can't wait. I'm going to be raring to go for a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Sean's going to be carrying boxes. With a phone strapped to the front of his chest and just going, whatever, as he's putting things away.
Yeah.
Would you pay money for that? It's a jacuzzi tub. And he goes, yes, fine, get out of here.
I mean, maybe I would pay money for a jacuzzi tub.